right, Jim, thank you. Appreciate it very much. It is Thursday, August 11th, 2022. I'm Dave Congleton. Paul Lewis is here. We're kind of changing the topic just a little bit. Actually, Paul has been monitoring the news out of Washington today, and we're going to start with that anyway. Paul, good evening.
Good evening, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Well, I think you give me too much credit. I haven't been monitoring the news.
Yeah, it sounds good.
While I was waiting out in the room, I read a story about the guy that attacked the FBI in Cincinnati.
That's good enough for us. All right, what do we know? What happened today? Let's start with Cincinnati.
Be honest with you, I don't know much about it. All I know is that a guy, an armed man, attacked the FBI office.
Wearing body armor.
Body armor. And fortunately, there was bulletproof glass there, and he couldn't get past that. And he had a brief shootout with authorities at the location. And he got away. And I think there was a 60-mile pursuit before they finally caught up to him. And even during that pursuit, I guess the guy had enough time to send out a tweet that he tried to get through the bulletproof glass, and he was stopped, but at least he was proud of himself for attacking the FBI.
And speaking of proud, what is he?
He's a proud boy. He has ties, and he says that everybody should get ready for revolution, and they should arm themselves and reach out to the Proud Boys for guidance.
And this is 24 hours after the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, said that he was concerned about the safety of his agents.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you get. I mean, when you stir up people who are marginal personalities, like obviously this gentleman was, you're going to get them doing crazy things. I mean, if you're telling people that they have to fight for their country or this is the last chance, you know, you got to stand up. You hear violent rhetoric all the time concerning around Donald Trump, that this is our last chance to take back our country. The liberals are taking over. We're not going to stand for this anymore. It just goes on and on.
Yeah. So let's fast forward. Then the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, had a press briefing today. Let me read the opening part of the article. Classified documents relating to nuclear weapons. Classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items FBI agents sought in a search of former President Donald Trump's Florida residence. Experts in classified information said the unusual search underscores deep concern among government officials about the types of information they thought would be located at Trump's club. Comment.
Well, the comment I have based on that is, what was Donald Trump, why was he holding on to that? Because they knew that shortly after he left the White House in January 2021, they knew that he had taken some documents that he shouldn't have taken. And so the National Archives reached out to him and said, we need some of these documents back. And so eventually, it wasn't right away, but eventually he gave back 15 boxes of documents. And when the National Archives, when they were going through it, there was some intelligence officials who said some of the documents that he had were so top secret that they couldn't even generically describe them for fear of jeopardizing our national security. That's how classified those documents were that he had in his possession. And since then, the National Archives have gone through and they've been in touch with Trump over the last 18 months trying to get back additional documents that they thought that he had. And they finally had a meeting with him June of this year, and they went down to Mar-a-Lago and they requested some surveillance tapes from them and some other documents, and Trump complied. They went ahead and they gave him some of this stuff, in the meantime, they subpoenaed additional documents that they thought that he had. And he did not respond. They didn't come up with those documents. So according to the Wall Street Journal, there was an informant that was there at Mar-a-Lago, and who knows who that informant was. It could have been a patriotic Secret Service agent, for all we know. They said, they contacted the DOJ, and they said, you might want to look here. You might want to go back and check this out. And sure enough, that was probably the basis for the warrant and the judge signing off on it. And they went back, and sure enough, they found the documents that they, well, we don't know, but
we don't know for sure.
Yeah, but all we know is they walked away with, what was it, 12 boxes of documents.
So there's an informer on the inside.
Yes, okay. There's an informant, according to the Wall Street Journal, and some other news sources have confirmed that. They said that there was an informant that was that after Trump had the subpoena, then failed to provide the documents that they asked for. Then the informant said, you might want to look in this storage locker here.
And the other thing to point out from the press statement today, the attorney general announced that he had personally authorized the decision to seek court permission for a search warrant. So it's not the FBI. They're getting the attorney general's approval. The judge signed off on it as well.
That's it.
There's no rogue operation here. There's no settling of old scores with the FBI and Trump.
It's because of the FBI that Trump even became president. If it wasn't for James Comey, 10 days before the last election, announcing an active investigation against Hillary Clinton, getting in front of TV cameras and saying it on live TV, I doubt that Donald Trump would have been president.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. Paul Lewis is here for the hour. Your phone call still to come. I just asked Paul to comment on the news of the day. We'll dive into the larger topic as we continue on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. On the Stolberg Law text line, JQ from San Luis checks in. The Washington Post has reported within the last hour the top secret documents were related to nuclear weapons and materials. Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, and you got to ask yourself, what was Donald Trump going to do with that? I mean, obviously, they knew that he had that stuff because they asked for it. They subpoenaed, you know, they had a subpoena asking for that, those documents. And for some reason, Trump decided not to hand them over. Personally, and you hate to think this way, but I have no faith in Donald Trump being patriotic or thinking about anybody but himself. He's proven that his entire adult life. So I think that he was probably holding on to that for leverage in probably some future legal issues, or maybe he was thinking that he could sell it.
So what does this do to the general topic we were going to talk about? Trump and his supporters have been arguing all week he's being persecuted. The FBI is out to get him. The media is out to get him. He's been persecuted for the last 6 years, and now here we go again. Does any of this from today change that narrative?
Well, not amongst them.
Yeah.
Those, you know, Trump said it. I said this last night to Rich, and, you know, I'll say it again. You know, Trump said himself, and this is the only thing that, the very few things that I agree with Trump about. His supporters are so fervent and so passionate that they would still support him even if he shot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue. And they prove it time and time again that he can do almost anything. Well, as far as I could see, he called John McCain. He insulted John McCain and said that, and he insulted all war POWs.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go through that whole cycle. But it's just the point that he's the one that feels that he's being persecuted. And how do we react to that when you hear that argument from Trump?
Well, he's an entitled brat. I mean, he grew up an entitled brat. So to me, it's not surprising for him to think that he's persecuted. What surprises me is good people who are my family, my friends, my neighbors, they also think that he's being persecuted. And he's not. Last night, Rich, on your show, in a one-hour time, he claimed that the Mueller investigation was a hoax, that nothing, and he did it five times in 1 hour. Now, if you accept that premise, then maybe he has a logical reason to disbelieve all the bad things about Donald Trump. But the fact is, the Mueller report, it was not a hoax. The Mueller report was pretty thorough about documenting the ways that the Trump campaign tried to conspire with the Russians to fix the election. And there's no doubt that Russia helped Donald Trump. There's no doubt. And even if you don't believe Mueller, if you think that's a hoax, all you have to do is look at the 2018 Senate intelligence report that was chaired by Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, that goes even further than the Mueller report, documenting how Trump and the Russians tried to work together to sabotage Hillary Clinton.
Or we could hear this other perspective on the Stolberg line. Lots of speculation here by your guest and by the Wall Street Journal. Here's what we know, however. 4 years of trying to get Trump on this or that, a DOJ and FBI and $45 billion, and for what? Zip, a nothing burger. Paul is a known outspoken critic of the former president. Fair enough, I have issues with the man, but how about some balance? Well, we had Rich on last night. How's that for balance? By the way, the president decides what is and what isn't classified. How about a show on the Biden family and their enrichment?
Okay, well, let's take that point by point. Number one, I remember right after Trump was elected, I had somebody talk to me and they said, oh, I bet you're pretty unhappy. I said, no, I'm not. I'm looking forward to the free wall from Mexico. I'm looking forward to health insurance that's going to be cheaper and better than Obamacare. I'm looking forward to a balanced budget. I'm looking forward to winning so much that I'm going to get tired of winning. I'm looking forward to all that. Fact is, we didn't get it, so I'm disappointed. I'm a disappointed Trump guy, supporter. Let's say that. And then as far as, like, what was the one point?
4 years of trying to get Trump on this or that, DOJ, FBI, we spent $45 million, we got nothing.
Well, as far as, he got impeached twice. And no president in our history has ever gotten himself impeached twice. And you had people that were within his administration, people who he chose to be in his administration in the first impeachment, come and testify in front of Congress and say that he did exactly what he was accused of. So I don't know. You know, the only reason why he didn't get impeached in that is because Republicans decided it was in their best interest not to impeach the man.
Well, but now, so here's another text message. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's just way too long. But on the Stolberg line, do you honestly believe Biden is running the country better than Trump? How does your argument address the current problems in the country? That's not the issue. The issue is the FBI raided the home of a former U.S. president for the only time in history. And now the word is that it was because he has nuclear documents and other military secrets in his possession. So, 805, text back in and defend the Trump decision. Don't, all these texters are trying to deflect. What about Hunter Biden? What about what's going on with the country right now? That's not the issue.
Yeah, the issue is Trump and why did he not hand over the documents? He's had 18 months to hand over the documents that they've been asking him for. And for some reason, he held on to them. And the whole reason why we have this law in place is because Richard Nixon, after Watergate and Nixon left office, he would go to the National Archives, or he'd have somebody go to the National Archives, find stuff that he thought was embarrassing or inconvenient to him, and they would take them out of the National Archives and destroy them. And so finally Congress, and even Republicans in Congress, said, we can't do this. You know, we can't allow a president to take whatever he wants out of his office.
Do you know whether or not Biden revoked Trump's security clearance? Somebody's asking that.
Well, once he leaves, that's the other thing that the previous texter said, that the president could declassify anything he wants to. Trump can't declassify anything once he's left office. So he can't take these documents and then have them in his storage locker and then say, oh, I went ahead and I declassified all that stuff in that storage locker, so it's okay. That's illegal. That you can't do that. So that's not true.
And we also point out that nothing keeps Trump from releasing the search warrant. So we can see exactly what the police were looking for.
That's right. He could have released that night on, what was it, Monday night?
He can release it now.
He could release it right now. And actually, Merrick Garland did him a favor, because Merrick Garland is going to open up the search warrant tomorrow. And Trump can go ahead and block it if he wants to. So he's given him time to go ahead and stand up, raise his hand, and say, you know what, I'd rather you not do that. So Trump has a decision to make.
What do you think he's going to do?
I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea what he's going to do.
But the scenario I've been hearing all week is the FBI has been out to get Trump for the last 6 years, and this is just the latest example. I would hope that what we are starting to learn today gives people making that argument some pause. I would also hope that we keep our rhetoric down given what happened in Cincinnati today.
That's true, because right now I would say that what we're dealing with right now, and the passion I saw from your guest last night, the anger and the passion and the sense of, you know, grievance, this feels a lot like January 5th, 2021. It feels a lot like that. You know, like Trump is getting all this tinder and all this firewood all together, and he's got that match just waiting to throw it in there.
All right. We are off to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Jim Richards updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. We continue with Paul Lewis. We welcome your phone calls and we read your text messages. All that straight ahead on the final half hour of today's edition of Hometown Radio. Thank you very much. Do me a favor, please. Start your Friday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9, followed by Mark Lee, Van Camp, and Robbins from 9 until noon. We got the Ramsey Gang at noon. And then Jim and I will be back at 3:05 with the Friday edition of Hometown Radio. Well, I'm sorry, Paul Lewis, this is hopeless. Here we are on the Stolberg line again. The whatabouts. So what about the Clintons? I'm interpreting this text message. What about the Clintons? What about the Bidens? Just because the Trump administration has had an FBI search, but why wasn't the FBI involved in the last three administrations?
Well, there is. I said this last night. There's a guy that's still working under DOJ, guidance. His name is John Durham, and Bill Barr appointed him to look after, to try and get Hillary Clinton and Obama for any type of shenanigans that they did. And John Durham has come up with zero in 4 years. And he did have one indictment of a Hillary Clinton lawyer that they said lied to investigators, which lying to FBI and lying to investigators now, according to Trump supporters that I've heard in relation to Michael Flynn, that's called a process crime. So when you perjure yourself or you lie to investigators, that's just a process crime. And apparently, according to Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, that's really a nothing crime. And so anyway, Durham went ahead and indicted this guy, took him to trial. It was a jury trial. The guy was found not guilty. So Durham, in 4 years, has one indictment, zero convictions.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. On the Stolberg line, Merrick Garland is getting even for not getting his Supreme Court hearing. Trump is a means to Garland's bitter endgame. Wow.
Was it Merrick Garland that took those documents that had about nuclear weapons and went and put them in that locker down there in Mar-a-Lago? Was Merrick Garland the guy that did that? Or was it Donald Trump? Who was responsible for, if everything that's being reported is true, who's the one that was responsible for those documents being at Mar-a-Lago? Was it Donald Trump or was it Merrick Garland?
We go to Mark in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Just an interesting point of fact, the Durham trial. He was definitely not guilty, in which is a fair trial. But they brought on Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, if you read the transcript, and they admitted handing off the Steele dossier and all the other documents and started the Russia investigation. And I thought that was really interesting. It never got covered, but if you go back and read the actual transcripts, don't take my word for it. Go back and read the transcripts. I just thought that was an interesting point, how false that turned out to be. And I'm surprised the FBI couldn't get to the bottom of that within a few short months. And the other thing is, we lost 9 FBI agents were kicked off the force, and one of the kicked off FBI agents became a Fox News, a CNN contributor, which I thought was appalling. So it just, the credibility of the whole news and the whole thing is just, it looks bad.
Mark, hang on a second. Let's get a response.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's interesting that Hillary Clinton gets all the blame for the Steele dossier. Who initially started that? Who's the one that first paid for that and hired this guy?
Who?
It was the Bush campaign. It was Jeb Bush. They're the ones that started it. And when he got out of the race, they said, "Well, we have this information. We're just going to hand it over to you." And so they gave it to Hillary Clinton. And really, how important was that? I mean, what did you ever hear about the Steele dossier until after the election? I mean,
we spent two years on an election with CNN News and MSNBC following the dossier.
Yeah, but
after the election.
I think there's a point here to be made, Paul. If Hillary Clinton had the dossier, wouldn't she have released it before the election?
That's exactly my point to the caller, is that if she was really intent on using this thing, why didn't she use it during the campaign?
Well, I think you should read the transcript, Paul. I think you'd find some factual evidence there that it's pretty sick. I'm not talking about Hillary. I don't care about her. It's whatever it takes to win these days. It doesn't matter whether you're right or left. But I'm just talking about the news media, how poorly that's covered by Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. It's just done in a horrible manner.
Mark, then how did you find out about it?
I read the transcripts when Durham was doing the trial, right. And they brought on her campaign manager, and he said, "Yeah, we handed it off." And it was untrue, and we knew that. And it was just like amazing. But it didn't really get covered. It was kind of it's old news. Right. But I'm just pointing out the reason this stuff gets done is because our three major news networks are just so corrupt and so corporate news now.
But let me get back to the FBI, and thank you for your call, Mark. Thank you. We go to Don on KVEC. Hi, Don.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Don.
You guys are seemingly not differentiating between what is sought and what is found. Of course, the FBI is going to have on their list of important things anything related to nuclear. That's a given because that's critical. Doesn't mean that he has it. That's just what they're searching for. But he could have it in the fact that he retained what he thought was personal letters. But if they were written on government stationery, they belonged to the government. So maybe he had a letter to Putin that he wanted to keep, and he kept it, along with a bunch of others, and it had a reference to nuclear. Well, that would be something they would want to take. Doesn't mean it's a big crime and that he's doing some nasty stuff with it or planning with it.
Yeah, but Don, these are apparently classified documents, the key word being classified.
Yeah, but they took boxes and boxes, which means they're going to go through those boxes and boxes and find out if there's anything specific. So why don't we wait till the specifics come out and we find out if there was anything that was critical, and they may take some of the stuff back and say, yeah, this was personal stuff, but you aren't allowed to have it.
Yeah. You know,
doesn't mean it was nasty and mean and he had all alternative ideas. He probably wanted it for the presidential library and just said, oh, all those boxes over there, that's my personal stuff. Load it up.
Okay, so you're saying that we should wait and find out what's in there before we get upset about it, right?
Yeah, you're making suppositions or implying.
Well, so are you, Don.
They found some nasty stuff.
But
they found a bunch of boxes that they're going to go through.
Yeah, but you're
to
doing
see
the same
if there's
thing.
Anything in it.
But Don, you're doing the exact same thing. You're supposing that there's nothing of value there.
I didn't say there was nothing of value. I said wait till it gets discovered. They're taking the boxes. They're going to go through the boxes, and then they'll let us know. You know, they won't tell specifically what they found, but they'll say, yeah, we did find some stuff, or we are retaining some stuff, and maybe they won't give any of it back. Maybe they'll give some of it back. But this has happened with other presidents before after they've left the office, and they found out they took what they thought was personal and said, no, it's on government stationery. It's no longer personal.
Let's get a response.
It didn't take, usually with other presidents, we haven't heard, if they have 18 months to give back what the government has asked them to return, we haven't heard of any president holding on to it despite them having 18 months to do it, and a subpoena, and sending the people from the National Archives down to their home twice in the last 2 years to try and get that stuff back.
Accusation of a crime is not a crime. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Well, that's what our law says.
You asked me to differentiate between the two. You said that presidents do this all the time. My point is that they don't, because we haven't seen
it
before.
Many of the other presidents, it's been minor stuff. They've gone over and said, hey, you know, you got some stuff, and they looked at it. You know, I think almost every single president, and as far as a president being raided, I think I saw the other day that back, I don't know if it was Rutherford B. Hayes, but one of our earlier presidents, they did go over and raid his place after he was out of office.
All right, so you have to go all the way back to Rutherford B. Hayes. Come on, Don.
Well, I understand that. Let's wait. Okay,
sure.
I'm okay with that. But at the same time, these people who say, on the one hand, let's wait, are also the same people that are saying this is a witch hunt, and the FBI's out to get him.
All right, Don, thank you. We move on. We've got Michael calling on KVEC. Hi, Michael.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
It makes sense to me in thinking about it in the car listening to you guys, but one of the things, Trump's message resonates with a large portion of the population.
Sure.
His method can be hated by lots of different people. Half of the nation would hate that. But his message continues to resonate with a lot of people because it seems like there's a standard that is applied to one side and not the other side. What looks to be wrong may not be wrong, but if looks are deceiving, then it looks like it's, there's someone's trying to do something wrong here. And we could say Hunter Biden is a non-issue. We could say the Russia investigation was a non-issue. We could say his taxes. All those different things are non-issues. They are. They need to be investigated. But there's a lot of other things that need to come to the limelight on both sides to be investigated. And it doesn't seem like the same standard. So that message that Trump continues to talk about is just going to continue to resonate with people because they see it, whatever news agency you listen to. And then as well as like something like this, we're implying or inferring that Trump did something wrong. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Like your last caller said, I would just say, let's wait till things come out. Discovery's coming. And we'll see what pans out.
Yeah, but now, hang on a second. Michael, hang on a second. I'll come back to you.
Sure.
What is it that Kevin McCarthy said, Paul?
Kevin McCarthy threatened. When this happened on Monday night, I mean, he didn't even wait. He went ahead and he threatened Merrick Garland. He said, clear your calendar, and if we win in the fall, better clear your calendar and have your ducks in a row. I mean, to me, that's a threat. So that means that he's going to drag him up.
Okay.
To the Hill and put them through the ringer, just like the 11-hour testimony that they did with Hillary Clinton and the endless deals on her email and Benghazi, 4 years of investigating Benghazi. So
sure.
Kevin McCarthy is threatening him. He's not waiting. He sent that tweet out within hours of us finding out about the raid.
So just, yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Just to respond to that, Merrick Garland is the same guy that said that was absent, didn't say anything for days, if not weeks, about the Supreme Justices and having the pickets and a target assassination attempt on Kavanaugh, but yet he's up in arms today because this judge who signed off on the warrant is being intimidated and threatened. That seems why. I don't think Kevin McCarthy should have said that personally.
Yeah.
Well, but that's why that man is saying things like that, is because of exactly Trump's message continues to resonate because Merrick Garland did nothing for the justices, but now it's a big deal with this judge.
Can I point out something about the FBI?
Sure.
The FBI is the ones that arrested that guy that had the gun and was going to try and go, and the DOJ is the one that's going to prosecute that man. And also,
because that man called in.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
He called it to his sister, and his sister got it taken
care
of.
It's also the FBI and the CIA that stopped an assassination attempt on John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Right. I am. But at the same token, if that lady's, the assassinator guy, I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. I'm getting worked up myself.
The assassin.
Sorry.
Don't get the assassin.
If the sister, she could have gone, if they had done nothing, that sister could have gone on national TV or even to anybody and said, hey, I called the FBI. I had my brother on the phone, and they did nothing. How would that have gone over?
Hmm. Well, my point is the FBI and the CIA are doing their job.
Right.
And the people that want to abolish the FBI now, they stopped an assassination attempt on two top Trump officials.
All right, Michael, thank you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832 if you want in on this conversation with Paul Lewis. Bob is on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I just wanted to address the people who were upset that the FBI raided the Trump compound and point out that, number one, the FBI contacted Trump's lawyer and arranged to come down there. They coordinated with the Secret Service. They showed up not at 6 o'clock in the morning, but later in the day, like I think it was either 10 or 11. They were driving unmarked vehicles. They were not wearing any identification on them. Anybody walking by, driving by, would not have seen FBI anywhere on the vehicles or their clothing. And Trump's attorney was present during this entire episode. Anybody with weapons that was there happened to be Secret Service people that are detailed to protect the property.
You know, Bob, you bring up a good point. you know, and that's something that I've been making, trying to make this whole hour, is that Trump had a chance to comply. And he's had 18 months to comply, and they've been trying to get him to comply, and he just hasn't. And the fact that he said that evidence was planted, to me, that's an admission. That's an admission of guilt, because he knows what was there. If anybody knows what was there, it was Trump. And now he's claiming that the FBI agents planted evidence. Give me a break. There was 30 FBI agents there. Do you imagine? Can you imagine the coordination that would have to be done for 30 FBI agents to all be in it? And
the whole thing is probably videotaped.
I don't. Well, they have the Mar-a-Lago has surveillance tape,
security cameras.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Right.
So it would be near impossible to plant that evidence with a crew of 30 and for it to be completely secret. That's ridiculous.
And the only reason that anybody found out that the FBI was at Mar-a-Lago is because Donald Trump announced it himself.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep. All right, Bob, thanks for checking in. We'll come back for a final segment with Paul Lewis. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. On the Stolberg line, the Mueller report is incomplete but still very damning. And was hampered by Bill Barr, one of the key players who worked with Manafort. Paul Manafort escaped back to Russia. Putin pulled off the greatest intelligent coup in history.
Yes. And as far as the Mueller report, Bill Barr, he even Robert Mueller said that Bill Barr misrepresented the findings in his report. And this thing, this collusion illusion, in the first two pages, Robert Mueller says there's no legal definition of collusion. There's no such thing. What he was trying to find was a conspiracy, and that's what he was trying to find, and he felt that he couldn't prove it in a court of law.
All right, let's squeeze in one more call. We've got Garth on KVEC. Hey, Garth.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, Garth.
Hey, little disclaimer. I'm not a Trump supporter by any means, but something's very strange about this raid. You know, my question is, what happened between spring and a few days ago? And in spring, Trump's lawyer spoke to the Department of Justice about documents being stored at Mar-a-Lago. So the legal team searched through 2 to 3 dozen boxes in the basement, and they were hunting for documents that could be considered presidential records. So the Trump lawyer showed the DOJ investigators the boxes. The investigators looked through the material. They said the only thing at that time the investigators said was that they didn't think the storage unit was properly secured, so they added a lock. So the other day when they raided, they broke through the lock to search. So my question is, you know, what happened between spring and a few days ago? Something's really fishy about this.
Paul, what do you say?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal reported, and several other news outlets reported, that a confidential informant called the DOJ and said that, I know you're looking for this. You might want to look here in Mar-a-Lago. And actually tipped off the DOJ that Donald Trump was hiding the documents that they were seeking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they already had the chance to go through all the documents this spring when they let through them. So it just doesn't make sense.
Well, Garth, that's the main point, though.
Yeah.
If Trump was hiding the documents, they wouldn't have seen them the first time through. And then the informer comes along and says, hey, they're hiding documents. Here's where you find them.
So you're saying they just put a padlock on the one area and, you know, didn't look further through documents? You're saying that they wouldn't have done a complete search through the documents in the spring when they had the chance?
They didn't have a search warrant.
It just doesn't make sense.
Garth, they didn't have a search warrant when they went down there. They went down there because they thought they were going to get cooperation with Trump's lawyers. And they didn't get the cooperation that they thought that they were going to get. Because obviously they left. They didn't have what they needed. They issued a subpoena for the stuff that they wanted. And during that time, they got a confidential informant called them and said, I know you're looking for this. This is where you find it. And apparently they found it, because Donald Trump knows that he's guilty, because he said that they planted information. You know, that's an admission of guilt.
And we're out of time. Garth, thank you. Final text on the Stolberg line. I appreciate Paul's passion on the subject and agree with his arguments. Paul, nice job. I got about 35 seconds for a final thought.
I am surprised by the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell, he knows that Trump is a cancer on the party. He knows it. And, the day after January 6th, after the riot, his wife tendered her resignation from Donald Trump. She'd been there the whole time, and, 2 weeks before she got out. They all know. And so...
All right, Paul. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks to all our guests today. Thanks to Jim Richards for his help. Thanks to our sponsors. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. Have a great night. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.